It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
As we do the postmortem of 32-28 loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, the roundtable, which is served to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Please catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. Rosewood is a casual neighborhood joint from the same local team that bring you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and DeMonico's Steakhouse. If you haven't tried those places, please do yourself a favor through these holidays. And although Rosewood's an everyday kind of place, it has incredible quality of food and service that will simply blow you away. Trust me on that one. Have been a longtime customer there, even before they started to become a sponsor. And we appreciate their sponsorship. And we appreciate two guys in the studio with us now who always do a tremendous job of breaking it down. Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Yes, Doug?
I'm a longtime customer, too. I didn't know they had food, huh?
After a day like yesterday, the non-food part of Rosewood Grill would probably be a good thing. Doug, come on, you've watched a lot of crazy football in Cleveland. I'm sorry to say that for you, but it's true. But yesterday was yet another one for the books, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, 2 minutes and 37 seconds of the Twilight Zone. And then you kick it back, and I was watching Whedon's numbers as the day went on. He started out, his quarterback rating was like 145, then it dipped down to 60, then he ended up in the 90s, which is a good quarterback rating for a game. One caller from what I heard, he was questioning, about the concussion. Well, you can get a concussion and continue to play. I mean, and it's one of those things where your memory goes and you know what you're supposed to be doing, but then all of a sudden there'll become a point where things start to get foggy. And Brian Sipe used to have the same situation, and it would come to the point where he'd call a play that you didn't have. Then you realize that he had one. And I'm sure with Brandon, he kind of had it on the automatic pilot of what he was supposed to do. But, it was tough because I thought Brandon played some of his best ball yesterday. I mean, he made some great throws yesterday.
He did. Josh Gordon doesn't set records without Brandon Weeden.
You look at the one throw, I think sometimes he gets a little overconfident in his arms to throw the ball down the middle in the coverage. Yep. And the same with the one, the Greg Little. But, it was a very disappointing loss, but it's the same scenario as the last 3 weeks. It's the turnovers.
I feel a little concussed today, by the way.
Do you?
Doug makes a great point. And I've seen this actually in other sports as well, where guys will become symptomatic after the game and feel either a little woozy or have a splitting headache or whatever the case may be. So I'm not surprised. And I'll tell you what, the AP has some photos of Brandon taking a couple shots yesterday, so I can imagine there may be a concussion in there somewhere.
He definitely got hit. We don't know exactly when and how it came about, but he did. But, Tom, just think about the quarterbacking story, and I touched on this earlier. A, the potential for a sixth different starter in 13 games, and B, the potential that guy isn't even in this building yet. It may not be Alex Tanny.
How did we get here? I know, it's incredible, isn't it, Vic, that this team, that was talking about the playoffs 3 weeks ago is now faced with, two concussed quarterbacks. Like you said, the guy might be on the street right now that starts at New England on Sunday against a Patriots team with a lot to play for, home field, et cetera. And Bill Belichick is licking his chops at a way to stop Josh Gordon this week.
Yeah, Josh Gordon's going to see a nose tackle on him. He's going to see a couple linebackers and a safety.
It's amazing that Josh Gordon did something no one's ever done in the history of the NFL before. And you're right to point out, as you did before, Tom, that Brandon Weeden was throwing him the ball for the bulk of those games where he had more than 200 yards back to back for the first time in NFL history. And yet still the Browns lost both of those games. And people can say, in Pittsburgh, some of those stats may have come after the game was decided. That was not the case this week against Jacksonville. They go up. Talk about what you were thinking when the Browns took that lead, Doug and Tom, when they took the lead with 3 minutes to go and you have your defense that, you've wanted to hang your hat on as the bright spot of this team all year against Chad Henne and the Jaguars for the game.
Much more comfortable than I was at the end of the drive. But, it's one of those. Hey, you got to give the Jaguars credit. They played hard. They made plays. The kid from Cleveland, He sets up Cecil Shorts. You know, he sets it up with the third.
Right.
I met the second after the game, but he set it up. And Joe was an aggressive player. Joe was trying to make a play, and it turns out Joe got a bit on the fake and he got beat on it. But to his credit, Joe stood up. And he showed the passion that he has and how much it means to win here. Much like Brandon Weeden. If he's got a concussion, he's out there playing. With people booing you, a lot of guys would just mail it in and say, hey, I got something wrong. He played the entire game. So, I mean, I think, the attitude of the team isn't a problem. It's just, the ability to find a way not to lose these games.
Because
they've kind of lost the last three games.
Yeah.
And here we were with 4 minutes to go thinking, okay, Brandon Weeden has overcome the complete meltdown in the final 2 minutes of the first half, a snap over his head into the end zone that he alertly kicks out of bounds. They come up with one of the most stunning plays we've seen here in 15 years where Josh Gordon pulls away like Secretariat running away from two Jacksonville defenders, showing unbelievable athleticism on that. And the defense goes out and they can't stop them from coming back 80 yards, the lowest ranked offense in the NFL. It was just remarkable.
I didn't see that coming.
No.
I respect everything you said, Doug, about their drive and wanting to do what they wanted to do. I just didn't see that coming, and I just can't give the defense a pass on allowing 80-yard drive with Chad freaking Henne leading the way.
No, you don't give them a pass. I mean, that's part of the game. I mean, they didn't execute like they were supposed to. We all focus on the last play where Joe got beat, but hey, Joe was thinking he was going to be able to make a play if the guy ran the slant route and jump it, but the guy, it set him up good.
Well, let's talk about Joe Haden for a second, because he was emotional and he was passionate, and this was the second time in 2 weeks that a member of that secondary, the other one being T.J. Ward after the Pittsburgh game, was speaking out and effectively calling out, I think, everybody, and himself included. He knew he had screwed up. He was in tears about it yesterday. Now, I know he spoke again today, Tom, a little while before. Just your take, though, on that pattern now of emotional outbursts, if you will.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I thought yesterday was a little different from Joe, though. I mean, it was more of an accountability on his end than calling out anybody in terms of, hey, we got to stop turnovers or we have to force more turnovers. It was more about Joe Haden just, kind of feeling heartbroken and being very emotional moments after a loss.
But he did broaden the lens, though,
a little bit.
I'm answering the same questions week after week.
In fairness to him, though, he kind of gets painted into a corner a little bit by us with the questions too, because we did have the TJ moment to build off of from last week. And I think people were kind of angling him towards something and maybe, not preying on his emotions at the time, but I think some of that comes into play as well.
And it also shows that he's not here for just the check.
Yeah.
I mean, he's here to win
genuine
football games.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that's starting to become interesting. Joe Haden was the guy who talked about, before the Cincinnati game, this is the biggest game that I've played in since the national championship game at Florida. He was used to winning. He's come here. He hasn't had that success. You talk about Joe Banner in Philadelphia, was used to winning in Philadelphia. Jimmy Haslam's been competitive and successful, clearly, in the business world. So there are a lot of people that have been used to winning that are starting to rebel against what's happened, because I think it's different if you went out there, you played great, you played flawlessly, and you lost. There are teams in the NFL that the Browns could go and play their best game against and lose. I don't think that's been the case the last 3 weeks, and it's the mistakes and the not taking care of the football, not taking care of your job at critical times that has derailed this team.
I think it's a good thing, though, when you see a player of Joe Haden's caliber standing up like that and showing some genuine emotion. I thought, and to follow up on this, guys, that he spent 15 minutes today then at his locker saying that he didn't regret anything that he said yesterday, that he's tired of losing, that he can't put his finger on why, but he's convinced that this team is a tight team that's going to continue to work and fight till the end.
This is the Roundtable, and it is served to you today by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. So to the question of, though, we like the passion of a player. We like hearing people who care. Rob Jedzinski addressed that earlier today in the news conference, saying that, okay, that's a good thing. I want guys like that on my team. But at any point, do you worry, Doug, about this being something where the head coach or the coaching staff maybe just loses a little bit of a feel for this group? Are they starting to take a little too much on their own, or do you still see a connection there? Because losing can pull this apart. You know that.
No, there's a connection there. you know, it's just a frustration. I came the opposite way. I came from a team that won four games out of 30 in college. And in the first 2 years, I'm in the playoffs here, and I'm thinking, boy, this is pretty, you know, good stuff. But then you hit a string of, you know, seven years before you go back to the playoffs, and you really appreciate, you know, what you had. But, I caught the tail end of the 64 championship team. And, you know, it's one of those things where you build it, and you get the pieces, you keep adding them. And you know, I look back at the 80, it was each week different people stepped up. Right now, offensively for us, there's one guy that's stepping up every week, and that's Josh Gordon. You know, there's got to be, you know, if he's having that kind of success, people obviously are going to be aware of it. The other guys have to step up and, you know, be the buyout for the quarterback.
Right. We've talked about it many times. I'm just not sure there's enough pieces there to support him at this point.
I think clearly there's no running game. There's no number two receiver. The slot receiver is not playing well. And the tight end, who was good at the beginning of the year, has not been good in well over a month.
And a defense that's put up very good numbers has not shown up when it needs to.
Right, and that's how you end up at 4-8. There it is, with, as you pointed out, a different quarterback seemingly starting every single week for this team. The one question I have for you guys is about coaching, and this is, you know, we heard a couple weeks ago, they're not aggressive enough. And then this week, you know, now you're going to hear they were too aggressive, and I think you can certainly make the case that they were too aggressive given the personnel on the field at the end of the first half with Brandon Weeden throwing the football while you had a lead against a team in Jacksonville that really hadn't been getting anything going to that point. Is Rob Chudzinski really just trying to find his way right now? How do you guys kind of assess that?
You know, I pressed him on that today because I thought that they were way too aggressive considering where Weeden was at that point in the first half yesterday. He had played with confidence early on, had thrown some really nice balls, as Doug points out. You know, his rating was at about 120, I think, with 3 minutes to go in the first half. I thought they should have just played more conservatively at that point, gotten to the halftime, maybe had a lead. But Rob, to your point, though, Nathan, is being true to what he has told this team from day one, that we are going to be an aggressive team at all times. Maybe yesterday he should have taken his foot off the gas a little bit earlier.
And I think, you know, you go in each game and you look at the other team's defense and you say, this is how we're going to attack them. And I think yesterday they felt that they were going to have success whatever they did against Jacksonville. And in doing so, they were going to put the pedal to the metal all through the game. And it came back and it bit them.
What do you want to see out of these final four games? Nathan asked me this question. It's a great question. What do you want to see?
Well, you asked me the same question last week, and I think my answer last week was Josh Gordon to continue to emerge as a star player, and I think we saw more proof of that yesterday. You know, I'd like to see this defense, you know, create some turnovers, put some more pressure on the quarterback. You know, I think we're up to maybe two sacks over the last 3 weeks. There just hasn't been that. I think there's – we also talked about Barkevious Mingo last week, and I think there were a few moments yesterday where he did flash out there and did get to the quarterback a little bit. So those are the main things I'd be looking at for the next four.
I want to see some more bubble screens because we've seen enough of them the last 2 weeks. No, I mean, you know that's what
Ace Sanders.
Yeah. That's what they're going to do in New England. But, you know, I think you want to see the team continue to grow. And, you know, okay, they've had some tough times 3 weeks in a row now. Okay, let's see how you recover from it. Let the character, you know, show it on the field with, you know, wins or, you know, big plays or, you know, turnovers, as Tom said.
All right. Well, guys, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I know another tough one to wade through, but we managed to pull it off every time. We try. It is the roundtable, and that is the great part of this, is we got Doug Deacon here from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the AP, taking their time to join us today. And it is served to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. We've got much more coming up for you. You're going to hear from the head coach at the top of the hour, Rob Chudzinski. I had a chance to sit down with him. And that is next on Cleveland. That's not next, but it's coming up shortly on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Phoenix, all ends with beginning.